Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Tuesday, March 18th, and coming up in today's episode, Devendra Fadnavis on Chhawa factor in Nagpur violence. Opposition protests Prime Minister Narendra Modi's speech on Mahakumbh for not mentioning stampede deaths and not allowing Rahul Gandhi to speak. ECI responds to Mahua Moitra's Supreme Court plea regarding voter data. And over 300 killed in Israel's biggest strike on Gaza since ceasefire. Did the movie Chhawa incite people's anger against long-dead Mughal Emperor Aurangzeb? Speaking on the tense situation in Nagpur, Maharashtra Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis said, and I quote, "Chhawa movie has ignited people's anger against Aurangzeb. Still, everyone must keep Maharashtra peaceful," unquote. He said during a speech in the Legislative Assembly. He later added, quote, "This violent incident and riots seem to be pre-planned." The Chief Minister also said that specific houses and establishments were targeted by the mob. He said it all looked like a conspiracy. The entire Nagpur incident stemmed from a call to move the tomb of Mughal Emperor Aurangzeb out of Maharashtra by some BJP-associated leaders. As the clashes grew violent late Monday evening, the area is now under curfew. The 17th century emperor's tomb is in Aurangabad, now known as Chhatrapati Shambhaji district. The chief minister stated that during the violence, several vehicles were set on fire by the protesters and a crowd of 80 to 100 had gathered at the site. He further highlighted that some people were also attacked with swords. He further informed the assembly that 33 police personnel, including 3 DCP-level officers, were injured during the clashes. 5 civilians were attacked, and in one shocking incident, a police officer was assaulted with an axe. He confirmed that 5 criminal cases have been registered, and to maintain law and order, prohibitory orders have been imposed in 11 police station areas, and 5 units of the State Reserve Police Force have been deployed. Maharashtra Junior Minister for Home, Yogesh Kadam, said the police have detained 47 people in the aftermath of the violence. According to a police commissioner's notice, supporters of Vishwa Hindu Parishad and Bajrang Dal gathered near Shivaji Maharaj's statue at Nagpur's Mahal area yesterday for a protest seeking the removal of Aurangzeb's tomb. They raised slogans and burnt a photo of Aurangzeb and a symbolic grave in a green cloth filled with grass, the notice said. It is also being reported that violence was triggered by rumours claiming that a religious symbol was placed on a sheet covering the symbolic grave. Maharashtra Deputy Chief Minister Eknath Shinde, speaking at the unveiling of a statue of Shivaji Maharaj in Dombivali of Thane district, said the people still praising Aurangzeb are traitors, noting that the Mughal Emperor had sought to conquer the state and committed various atrocities, according to the Deputy Chief Minister. The opposition has slammed the state government over the violence. Shiv Sena UBT leader Sanjay Raut targeted the rioters, saying, quote, "Who dared to cause a riot in Nagpur? People have tried to create fear in Aurangzeb's name and people responsible for causing riots should be booked under MACOCA," unquote. The MACOCA, or Maharashtra Control of Organized Crime Act, is a state-specific law enacted in 1999 to combat organized crime and terrorism in Maharashtra. Supriya Sule, Lok Sabha MP and NCP Sharad Chand Pawar leader, said the violence in Nagpur is unfortunate. Quote, "We appeal to the citizens to please not believe in any rumours. Let us all work together to maintain an atmosphere of mutual harmony. This is Maharashtra's progressive ideas. Let us all work together to maintain this identity of our state," she said in a post on social media. Following the opposition ruckus against Prime Minister Narendra Modi's speech on Mahakumbh in Lok Sabha, House proceedings have been adjourned till 11 a.m. tomorrow. After the Prime Minister spoke of the greatness achieved by the Mahakumbh organised in Uttar Pradesh this year, opposition members raised multiple voices related to this speech. Inside the House, the MPs expressed angst for allegedly not being allowed to raise questions against any of the claims made in the Prime Minister's speech, while outside, they commented on the content of the speech itself. Before going further, here is a brief of what the Prime Minister said today. He first thanked the citizens for making the religious event a success. The government estimates that some 60 crore devotees showed up during the month-long religious festival in Prayagraj. Quote, The entire world saw India's grandeur in the form of Mahakumbh. We witnessed a national awakening in the Mahakumbh, which would inspire new achievements. This also gave a befitting reply to those who doubt our strength, unquote, the PM said. The Congress, meanwhile, criticized the Prime Minister for not mentioning the stampede deaths during Mahakumbh in his speech. At least 30 people had died in a stampede at a fair venue in Prayagraj, while another 18 stampede deaths were reported due to a Kumbh-bound rush at a railway station in New Delhi. Leader of the opposition in Lok Sabha Rahul Gandhi, speaking to media outside the house, said, and I quote, "I wanted to support the Prime Minister, I really did. Kumbh is India's culture's part. However, he did not offer any tribute to the departed souls at Kumbh. Many youths went to Kumbh, they need jobs. The Prime Minister should talk about their employment status as well," unquote. On being asked if he was not allowed to speak indeed, Mr. Gandhi said, and I quote, "This is the new India. The leader of the opposition should be allowed to speak under parliamentary rules, but what can we do? They never allow us to speak," unquote. Meanwhile, his sister and first-time MP from Wayanad, Priyanka Gandhi Vadra, also raised her objections. Quote, "Rahul is the representative of all opposition party members in the House. Given his position, he should be allowed to speak if he wanted to speak on the matter. Anyway, he was definitely going to speak about the Kumbh in a positive light, but he was still not allowed," unquote. Inside the House, the opposition MPs raised slogans against alleged authoritarian behaviour, as they allege they were not allowed to raise questions inside the House. Some MPs reached the lower parts of the House near the Speaker as well. Meanwhile, in the Rajya Sabha, leaders from Congress and Trinamool staged a walkout from the upper house after a request for discussion on alleged lapses by the Election Commission was denied. Multiple opposition leaders have been seeking a debate on alleged duplication of voter ID cards, as well as the upcoming delimitation exercise, both of which will deeply impact the Indian voting process, according to their allegations. Despite raising slogans and pressing their demands, their notices were rejected, and Deputy Chairman Harivansh clarified that their statements would not be recorded, prompting the opposition to leave in protest. Following Trinamool's Mahua Moitra and Association of Democratic Reforms plea in the Supreme Court, the Chief Election Commissioner has invited the petitioners to discuss a matter pertaining to alleged discrepancies in the number of voters and EVM data. Supreme Court bench headed by Chief Justice of India Sanjeev Khanna directed the petitioners to make a representation to the Election Commission of India within 10 days, raising their concerns about disclosure of Form 17C. The Supreme Court was hearing a plea by Trinamool leader Mahua Moitra and ADR seeking disclosure of Form 17C, citing alleged discrepancy in the number of voters who visited the voting booth as against the EVM data on the voter turnout. The application, moved by ADR, raised a question about this alleged discrepancy, particularly the question was about Form 17C, which is meant to be filed by a government's presiding officer on the day of polling. Form 17C records the voter turnout in every polling station of a constituency. ADR seeks a direction from Supreme Court to ECI to provide authenticated, scanned and legible copies of Form 17C, showing the account of votes recorded booth-wise after each phase of polling in Lok Sabha elections that were conducted in April-May of 2024. Senior advocate Abhishek Manu Singhvi, appearing for Moitra, said there is a huge discrepancy in the data on votes polled a day before and the data released the next day by the Election Commission on their website. Mr. Singhvi also asked why can't the ECI release scanned copies rather than giving them to a polling agent. Singhvi said, quote, "How did end of the polling day of 10 become 50 the next morning? That needs to be explained. There is a discrepancy in final list published and the ones who actually visit the polling booths," unquote. Saying that the court can't hear the matter today, the Supreme Court has now relisted the matter for a week commencing July 28th. Israel, despite a ceasefire deal in place, has striked multiple locations in Gaza, claiming these were extensive strikes on Hamas targets. The military conducted, quote, extensive strikes, killing at least 330 people on Tuesday as the biggest attack in the war-torn territory since the ceasefire took place. Civil Defense Agency said that the airstrikes, which took place during the holy month of Ramadan, killed mostly women, children and the elderly and injured about 150 people. The explosions were heard in multiple locations including northern Gaza, Gaza City and Deir al-Balah, Khan Yunis and Rafah in the central and southern Gaza Strip. Mahmoud Abu Watfa, who headed Hamas's police and internal security services in the Gaza Strip, was also reportedly killed in the strike on Gaza City. In a post made by Israel Defense Forces on X this morning, it said, and I quote, "Conducting extensive strikes on terror targets belonging to the Hamas terrorist organization in the Gaza Strip in accordance with the political echelon," unquote. However, UN aid chief Tom Fletcher posted on X regarding the recent escalation, calling it dreadful news. Quote, "Our humanitarian efforts have done everything possible to save as many lives as we could in Gaza. Immense suffering among survivors. And now this, everyone with influence must insist this to stop," unquote. Meanwhile, Israel also ordered all schools close to the region neighboring Gaza should be shut. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office later said the strikes were ordered after Hamas's repeated refusal to release hostages, as well as its rejection of all the proposals that it had received from U.S. Presidential Envoy Steve Witkoff and from other mediators. Quote, "The IDF is at this time attacking targets of Hamas terrorist organization throughout the Gaza Strip in order to achieve the objectives of the war. In order to achieve the objectives of the war, as they have been determined by the political echelon, including the release of all of our hostages, the living as well as the deceased," unquote. Israel would now act with increased military strength against Hamas, it said. Hamas, however, said Mr. Netanyahu had decided to sacrifice hostages by resuming war. Quote, "Netanyahu's decision to resume war is a decision to sacrifice the occupation's prisoners and impose a death sentence on them," unquote, a Hamas official said in a statement, adding that Israeli leader was using the fighting as a political lifeboat to distract from internal crises. In a separate statement, Hamas held Mr. Netanyahu fully responsible for violating and overturning the peace agreement and said the ceasefire breach exposes the prisoners in Gaza to an unknown fate. A White House spokesperson said Israel had consulted President Donald Trump's administration before carrying out these strikes. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.